Welcome to Voices of the Community, which explores critical issues facing Northern California communities. We introduce you to the voices of community thought leaders and change makers who are working on solutions that face our fellow individual community members, neighborhoods, cities, and our region. This is George Koster, your host. This episode is part of our series exploring COVID-19's impact on nonprofits and small businesses in the San Francisco Bay Area. Back in April of 2020, when we decided to create this ongoing series on COVID-19's impact, first on nonprofits and then on small businesses in the San Francisco Bay Area, we, like you, had no idea how long the pandemic would go on and what the health and economic impact would be in our community. With vaccinations increasing, COVID-19 cases and deaths decreasing, we're now moving into the summer of 2021 with the reopening of the economy and all of the uncertainty of our ever-changing indoor and outdoor vaccinated and unvaccinated protocols and the politics that will drive how we all come back together as a unified or fractured community. We will continue to shine a spotlight on the nonprofits and small businesses that make up the fabric of our community, along with the founders and staff who are struggling to deal with the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on their operations, services, and sustainability until we can all get to the other side of the pandemic. Along the way, we will also share with you all the amazing solutions that our nonprofits, small businesses, foundations, and government leaders are working on to help us all get to the other side of the pandemic and come together to rebuild our communities with more economic, social, and environmental equality.
We did some surveys that really helped to build our case making of the impact of what COVID did. We released that with the Otis report that they do annually on the creative economy. And one of the things that that showed was that many people were considering leaving the industry. And we ended up getting quoted in the New York Times about how if we do not address this potential deficit in this pipeline of creation of new workers, we could be facing a cultural depression in California. And that's part of where I think things like the California Creative Workforce Act and this level of investment is so critical for us to really emerge and be that state of creativity.
This is the Executive Director of Californians for the Arts, Julie Baker. Julie shares with us how the COVID-19 pandemic is impacting our creative economy and its workforce, as well as how Californians for the Arts is working with arts organizations and the state government to support the recovery of the creative economy. I'm joined remotely by the Executive Director of Californians for the Arts, Julie Baker. Thanks for being here, Julie.
Thanks, George. It's a pleasure to be here.
So I think it would be really helpful for the audience if you could can provide an overview of what is Californians for the Arts and what are your programs?
Ah, my pleasure. So Californians for the Arts is the statewide arts, culture, and creative industries advocacy organization. And so we work to increase awareness of the impact of this industry and this workforce on California's economic recovery, in this case, since COVID-19, as well as social impact, our impact on every community in California, and really not only engaging and educating policymakers in the public realm, but also to give tools and the resources for all folks in the arts and creative sector to become advocates for our industry and for our workforce.
And then just to kind of follow up, could you kind of share some of the main topics that Californians for the Arts are working on? I know a big piece most recently has been the budget, because now California has massive amounts of windfall between taxes in its usual form, as well as the feds. So Californians for the Arts has been really pushing to lobby the state legislature for more funds for arts. And then some of the other pieces I thought were really great was your policy work around California Artist Corps, the whole idea of Artist Corps, or what I like to call Back to the Future, which is our national theater effort from the Great Depression, the New Deal.
Right. Well, let me also clarify, I'm the executive director of two organizations. So Californians for the Arts is sort of the public awareness side, the education, the building of the toolkits and the resources, media campaigns, all of those things. And then California Arts Advocates is our direct lobbying organization. And that is actually a C4 where we have a lobbyist and we work to influence legislation and budgets and so on. So on the Californians for the Arts side, what we do is really to, like I said, we built a media campaign campaign around this. We build toolkits and advocacy resources, and we do a lot of programs like regional conversations where we gather people across 9 different regions in California to really understand what are the field's priorities, because our policy development, it should only be in response and recognition of what the field's needs are. We have an amazing board of 26 people across California who also inform that, but those regional conversations are really critical to that. As you can imagine, COVID-19 has been severely impactful for our sector. As you said at the top of the hour, you know, it's been 14 months of being shut down. We've had incredible people doing work to pivot and to do everything to continue to provide the benefits that arts and culture bring into our lives. And I'm so grateful for all of those content creators out there that have been providing that mental health benefits that we've all been needing during this time period. But we also know that's near impossible to earn revenue. So essentially for 14 months, our sector has been without revenue. And what has also happened, as you are quite aware, is that the individual arts workers are unemployed. The institutions, the organizations, the buildings may still be there, but the people who make it work are hanging on and barely hanging on. And so our work as advocates and in our direct lobbying work is to say, this is a sector that has been disproportionately impacted by the effects of the shutdowns due to COVID-19. This is a sector that brings huge economic benefits to the state of California. Close to 8% of the gross state product of California is the creative industries. We're ahead of agriculture and transportation. We're a $230 billion industry in the state of California. And we employ over 750,000 workers. And so our job is to continually say, this is something that needs to be taken seriously. And every aspect of that ecosystem needs to be supported. And that ecosystem is everything from the individual artist and the arts teachers and the directors and the lighting people and all the aspects of what are the ancillary businesses that support it, the caterers and the porta potties and all the other aspects of the business, on up to the Live Nations and the Sonys. So it's like this entire, you know, spectrum of everything in between. And our job is to be the experts and explain that to policymakers and lawmakers so they start to go, oh, wait, this needs to be taken seriously. So that's number one. Now we're in a place, as you said, budget surplus plus $26 billion coming from the American Rescue Plan from the federal government. And California is poised with an opportunity, unprecedented opportunity, once in a generation, to actually make a significant investment in this industry. And so we're really working hard to make that case. And we've joined in coalition with NEVA California, which is the National Independent Venues Association. That is a new organization that kind of came together in this last year of independent venues, both for-profit and nonprofits, mom and pop shops who have been shut down for 14 months without an ability to earn revenue, and the California Association of Museums. And the three of our organizations with California Arts Advocates have been promoting a $1 billion budget ask. And within that, there's money for all three aspects of the organizations and people that we represent. And we're now really excited because we have 5 legislative champions pushing this through and bringing this to the attention of leadership. We've directly met with the governor's office, and we are talking about why this is so critical, and we're getting really great response. June 15th is when the budget has to be passed here in the state of California. The governor announced in his May revise some specific things for the arts. He talked about the arts in his budget speech, which was fantastic to be heard and recognized in that way. But we still feel like there's more that needs to be addressed in terms of what was not in that budget. So we continue to push for that, and we're hopeful. And we ask people who are supportive of the investment to recover this sector and to build back sustainability and to build equity into this sector to support us in our $1 billion ask. So that's the budget, as you mentioned. And then if you want me to just quickly talk about a couple of pieces of specific legislation and policy that we're working on.
Please do. I mean, I noticed, for example, on Newsom's bump up in May, he bumped up the Artist Corps, for example.
That's right. So the California Creative Corps pilot program was something that the governor introduced in his January budget, and it was about $15 million. Now in his May revise, he has bumped that up to $60 million and expanded sort of the scope of the services that artists would be hired to do. So it would be arts and utilizing artists in a framework of communications and creating messages that are persuasive in a different way than, let's say, a government press release can do. And in terms of public health behavior, in terms of climate crisis, in terms of the things that bring people together and to understand what's going on. So it's a great program and that we're very much in support of. He also put $40 million for creative youth development programs. And then he's doing a Clean California initiative. And in that, there's $75 million for artists to help beautify towns and roadways throughout California. We love the arts integration strategies. We'd love to see arts as part of other parts of the government's solution in terms of arts and transportation and other infrastructure models. And we are also sponsoring a bill called the California Creative Workforce Act. And that is different from the CORE program in that the CORE program is wonderful and it's an employment opportunities for artists. But workforce development is really creating a new pipeline for people to come into the industry. And this bill that is authored by Senator Allen from Santa Monica is something we are really excited about because we think it's the first of the kind in its nation. We haven't seen anything else as specific to a workforce development program specifically to get people into the creative industries with an emphasis on communities that have not had the resources or the access to these types of opportunities to make sure that we see diversity in our sector. So I think it's a really exciting bill, Senate Bill 628. We were excited last week when it got through appropriations and it goes to the Senate floor soon. There's another bill, too, that we are very pleased to support, which is Senate Bill 805 that's been authored by Senator Susan Rubio. And this is really a very innovative solution to the impact of AB 5, Assembly Bill 5, which changed employment laws in the state of California, where it made it very difficult for people to hire independent contractors. Which we know, of course, many, especially small theater organizations, small performing arts organizations, hire the majority of their people as independent contractors. This bill made it very difficult to do that, AB 5. So Senate Bill 805 is trying to come up with a solution that gets us to a place where we can pay people in our industry at least minimum wage, but in a subsidized fashion from the state to help create a payroll and a paymaster system, because so many of our small budget arts organizations want to pay people appropriately for the work that, and the labor that they're doing, but we simply don't have the capitalization. And so this is a solution to get to a place where we say, these workers are essential, these workers are important, and these workers are providing enough value that we are going to support this aspect of the kind of incubator part of the arts ecosystem to bring people into the industry. So it's very exciting to see these bills coming through.
So Julie, folks who are listening to the show, how can they support your efforts to get these bills passed and to get the budget kind of directed in a way to help our creative economy?
Thanks, George. You know, so here we are, we're right now sitting close to the end of May. The California budget has to be signed by June 15th. So right now we're in the last 3 weeks of these advocacy pushes. We ask you to sign up for our e-blasts or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram under our Californians for the Arts name, at CA for the Arts on Instagram and Twitter, and californiansforthearts.org as our website. And there you can see on the front page on the bottom right, you'll see a way to sign up for our email list. And then you'll start to get our emails, which will alert you to what are the actions that you can take. And that will be in the form of signing on to letters. For example, our $1 billion budget ask has over 500 arts organizations, businesses, mayors. Mayor Eric Garcetti from Los Angeles just supported the $1 billion ask. Mayor Libby Schaaf from Oakland and Mayors Todd Gloria from San Diego are in support of it. The California Travel Association, understanding the relationship of the recovery of tourism to arts and culture, has signed on to our $1 billion ask. So as an organization, you can sign on, and then as an individual, you can send a letter through our templated system to your own elected official saying, this is a priority for me to make sure that this industry recovers. And even if you're not someone who works in it. If you're someone who can't wait to get back to a live performance, whether it's in your independent venue, your small theater, your performing arts center, whatever it may be, you want to support this budget ask so that they can come back, they can recover, and they can build sustainability over the next 2 to 4 years.
And then California for the Arts is a membership-based organization as well, right?
We are. So, we are one of the small budget nonprofit arts organizations ourselves. We are hopefully growing. I was the first full-time staff person hired in this organization in the last 2 years. We've only recently become a staffed organization, and we are growing, and we are growing because of membership and foundation support and grants. And our commitment is to keep our programs free because we want everybody to have access to the tools to become effective advocates for arts and culture. And the way we can do that is if people become members. And you can become members, individual members of Californians for the Arts, and you can also become an organizational member of California Arts Advocates, which directly helps to pay for our lobbyist.
And Julie, over the time that you've been there, but the length of the organization, what do you feel has been the biggest impact that California for the Arts has had on our arts culture and creative economy?
You know, I think it's a couple different things. I think one is that we're really focused on building coalition, and that is to really put the different silos together. And so that we are truly seen as an important and essential industry to California. And I feel like the needle is moving. And if I may, I'll give you a very specific example of that. We have been very focused because through our regional conversations, we learned, particularly last fall, really, that so many arts organizations were without any sense of what's coming in terms of guidelines, right? We were in this, especially before now, June 15th, the big change. We were in this place where every tier had specific guidelines, and the arts were not represented in any of those guidelines. We were not in the tiers. So we didn't see ourselves in the future. We didn't know where were we going to be. So we really started to advocate and lobby directly to the administration that we needed to be in the guidelines, and we needed to get those guidelines in order for us to plan to be able to reopen arts safely. And after many, many months of working directly with them and in collaboration with the administration, and I have to say they were very responsive and really want in earnest to get us back to business, you know, we started to really be invited to these meetings and to be at the table. Well, then I got a call inviting me to a meeting that I had not yet been invited to, and I'm not going to get into too many details, but a certain segment, and there were representations from transportation, manufacturing, agriculture, tourism, you know, hospitality industries, and they had all been meeting prior, and I introduced myself, and I even heard someone say on the Zoom call, why is she here? You know, kind of like, what? And so I texted my friend in the administration. I said, why am I here? And they said, because we felt the arts should be represented. And that's when I thought, okay, we're being seen, and we're being seen as an industry. And when that happens within policymaking, within governments, that's when we can really affect change, because that's when people start to see us as equal to other industries, and they really start to give us the opportunities to lift our voices and to make those types of changes. So that was an exciting thing that I saw happen this year. And the other big piece I think that we contributed to was some data and research. We did some surveys that really helped to build our case making of the impact of what COVID did. We released that with the Otis report that they do annually on the creative economy. And one of the things that that showed was that many people were considering leaving the industry. And we ended up getting quoted in the New York Times about how if we do not address this potential deficit in this pipeline of creation of new workers, we could be facing a cultural depression in California. And that's part of where I think things like the California Creative Workforce Act and this level of investment is so critical for us to really emerge and be that state of creativity.
And over these last 14 months, what do you feel, Julie, are some of the positive things that could come out of the pandemic that would be supportive and beneficial to the arts culture, creative economy, both the small organizations you work with, along with all of the workers themselves, and then I think overall our economy at large?
You know, I think, I mean, if you look at silver linings, I think probably the biggest silver lining, I think, is that for those of us inside arts advocacy or inside the industry, we've always said arts are essential. We believe that. But it wasn't until people were without it for these last 14 months that I think everyone started to say, that really is essential. not just to our local economies and every community, rural, inner city, and urban alike needs arts and culture, but it was also for our soul. And Josefina Lopez, who is the author of Real Women Have Curves, recently she just said, arts are essential workers for the soul or something like that. And I was just like, yeah, that's right. That's it. And so, you know, I think that that's been the silver lining in that. I think that there's finally broad recognition that we need the arts. Secondly, I think there was also a reckoning inside of the arts sector, both a racial reckoning in terms of seeing where's the disproportionate impact happening, who has not been traditionally getting the resources, getting the leadership positions. And I think that that reckoning is about time and is happening. And we have to really make those systemic changes happen now. So I think, and there's that great opportunity that we had to pause in a sense and really take a look internally at ourselves. And then the final piece too, is I think that there has become a recognition again, internally, that artists are seeing themselves as laborers and essential workers, and that it is okay to proclaim that. That doesn't take away of the integrity of your work and your creation, but that it is really helpful for those of us who are on the front end of trying to get policy to support this sector, for them to come with us in raising their voices as their own advocates. And I guess that's the other piece, is that I feel like we've had more people engage in advocacy than ever before, and hopefully recognizing that it makes a difference. If we actually work together, raise our voices, talk about the problems, and then offer solutions, we will find those champions and we can affect significant change.
That was really great. So thank you, Julie, for sharing the wonderful insights from your work at Californians for the Arts and your work with the arts and cultural sector. We'll make sure that listeners have your contact information, website, and social media, along with all the links for your advocacy, et cetera, so they can sign up, and all of the wonderful resources that California for the Arts has out there. So please stay safe and healthy as we work our way through what has become a very strange new normal.
Thanks, George.
That's it for this episode of Voices of the Community. You've been listening to the voice of the Executive Director of Californians for the Arts, Julie Baker. To find out more about Californians for the Arts and to get engaged in advocating for the arts and our creative economy, as well as support their other programs, go to californiansforthearts.org. For more insights into how our performing arts organizations have been impacted by the pandemic over this past year plus, please go to georgecoster.com and click on the COVID-19 in San Francisco Nonprofit Series button to listen to interviews with all of these wonderfully important organizations: the San Francisco Mime Troupe, Word for Word, Z-Space, City Arts and Lectures, San Francisco Performances, Access Dance Company, Presidio Dance Theater, the San Francisco Girls Chorus, Peninsula Ballet Theater, Joe Goody Performance Group, Music at Cole Mansion, The Dancers Group, the Community Music Center, Intermusic SF, Left Coast Theater, Opera Parallel, and Theater Bay Area. Please tune in to next week's show on June 17th at 8:30 a.m. on KSFP 102.5 FM, where our theme is children and families, and we hear from two legacy social service organizations, Compass Family Services and Raphael House, about their work with our families to deal with the pandemic's ongoing impact on their housing, jobs, and health. We hope that you enjoyed the insights, points of view, and personal stories from the voices of changemakers and their nonprofits and small businesses featured in this series. To find out more and get engaged with the nonprofits, small businesses, and staff members featured in the series, please go to my website, georgecoster.com, and click on Voices of the Community to find links to the extended versions of these interviews and to listen to the entire series. After listening to these stories, we hope that you will consider making a donation and volunteering to provide a hand up to your fellow community members. I want to thank my associate producer, Eric Estrada, and Casey Nance at Citron Studios, along with the wonderful crew at the San Francisco Public Press and KSFP. Voices of the Community is a member of Intersection for the Arts, which allows us to offer you a tax deduction for your contributions. Please go to georgecoster.com and click on the donate link to make a donation to help us provide future shows just like this one. While you're on our website, you can enjoy our archived past shows, which feature community voices working on solutions to critical issues facing Northern California communities. And you can sign up for our newsletter to find out more about future shows, as well as shows and events from the organizations that are included in our episodes. Take us along on your next COVID walk by subscribing to Voices of the Community on Apple Podcast, Spotify, and Google Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at George Koster, and we'd love to hear from you with feedback and show ideas, so send us an email to george@georgekoster.com. I'm George Koster in San Francisco, and thank you for listening.